Good morning. It's Monday, January 19, 2026. And I have to be honest with you, right from the start, I am still waking up. But the fog I'm feeling isn't just because it's a Monday morning or because I didn't get enough coffee. It's because of where we were yesterday.
It was a heavy morning. There's really no other way to put it.
We're sitting down to reflect on the service from New Life Benson yesterday, Brother Steve's message. It was lesson number 53 in the Sermon on the Mount series.
53, yeah.
And the title was Christ and the Law, which, on paper, sounds like it could be a dry history lesson.
Oh, for sure.
But if you were there, or if you listened to it, it was anything but dry.
It was a confrontation. I mean, Brother Steve actually opened the message by saying he wasn't there to be warm, cuddly, and fuzzy.
He did say that.
And knowing him, he usually leads with that grandfatherly charm. But yesterday, he set the table immediately. He basically said, "I love you, but we need to have a serious talk."
It felt like a wake-up call.
Yeah.
But before we get into the heavy lifting, and we are going to get into the Greek and the history, because that context is vital,
Yeah.
I did appreciate that he still grounded it in community.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't just a lecture, it was a pastor talking to his family. He's talking about neon night for the kids this week.
And the church planning a trip to Tucson next month.
Right, to see, I can only imagine too.
Which sounds like a nice time matinee and lunch at the Roadhouse Cinema.
It does. But even the way he handled the opening joke felt like a setup for the punchline of the sermon. Did you catch the story about the old goats?
I did. It was a classic Steve story. A tour guide in Holland is explaining to Americans that when goats get too old to produce milk or cheese, they have to go. And he asks the American tourist, "What do you do with your old goats?"
And the guy says, "We send them on bus tours."
It got a good laugh. It really did. It broke the ice. But looking back at my notes now, that joke was actually a stark contrast to where he went next.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he pivoted from "What do we do with the old and useless?" to a very modern, very dark reality about the unborn.
That shift was jarring. The music stopped, the laughter stopped, and the tone shifted completely. Because yesterday wasn't just any Sunday, it was Sanctity of Life Sunday. And 2026, that conversation is different than it was 10 or 20 years ago.
It is. And this is where we need to slow down and really process what he said. He described the world we're living in as a dark world.
Right.
He wasn't talking about politics in the abstract. He was talking about a culture that, in his words, praises death.
What really struck me was the invisibility of it now. He mentioned how the battle lines have changed. It isn't just about, protesting clinics anymore.
No.
The threat has moved right into the mailbox.
That was the specific detail that chills you. He pointed out the reality of abortion pills being mailed directly to people's homes. It's become so accessible,
And private.
private, and hidden. And his point was that this secrecy allows the culture to ignore the reality of millions of children being killed. It's out of sight, out of mind, but he refused to let us keep it out of mind.
He seemed incredibly frustrated with the church's passivity on this. He said, "We're fighting these little bitty battles, but what we really need is a total cultural realignment."
He used strong language there. He said, "We need to codify the end of abortion in the laws of this country."
He did. And that's a hard thing for some people to hear because we're conditioned to think, "Oh, that's politics. Keep it out of the pulpit."
Right.
But Steve's argument was that you cannot separate the spiritual from the civic. He called for daily prayer. He was very clear on that. He said, "You can't just pray."
You have to act.
But then, just as you're starting to think this is turning into a political rally, he pivoted again. And I think this is the heart of the message.
He went straight to the mothers.
Yes. He brought up the WEAR Pregnancy Center.
That is the balance that's so often missing. If you're going to stand against the culture of death, you have to support the lives that are actually here.
He mentioned the baby clothes giveaway happening this Friday.
It was a reminder that viewing every child and every grandchild as a gift from God isn't just a slogan we put on a bumper sticker. It requires
It
logistics.
requires clothes. It requires money.
It requires the church actually being the hands and feet of Jesus to these women.
So that's the backdrop. We're operating in a dark world that celebrates things God hates. And that leads us into the text itself, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, Christ and the Law.
This is a section of scripture that I think confuses a lot of modern Christians.
Well, sure, because I think the average person assumes that when Jesus showed up, he was the grace guy.
Right.
We tend to think the Old Testament is rules and judgment and lightning bolts, and Jesus is love and forgiveness and come as you are. So the logical assumption is that Jesus came to get rid of all those old rules, right?
That was the assumption. And Brother Straight pointed out that even the Jews of Jesus's day thought the same thing. They knew their Bibles. They knew prophecies like Jeremiah 31.
Remind us what Jeremiah 31 says.
It promises a new covenant. It says God will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. So the people interpreted new as replacement.
Okay, so they thought.
They thought, okay, the Messiah's here, out with the old, in with the new. We can scrap the rule book.
New management, everything must go.
Precisely. But Jesus stands up on that mountain and says the exact opposite. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets.
And Steve broke down that word destroy in a way that really opened my eyes.
Oh, yeah. This was the Greek lesson. The word is kataluo.
Kataluo.
Yes. Brother Steve, having lived in Greece, he loves digging into these nuances. The word implies violence. It means to smash down, to demolish, or to raise a house to the ground.
Like a demolition crew.
Exactly. Yeah. Think of a wrecking ball hitting a building until there's nothing left but dust.
So Jesus is saying, I didn't come to take a wrecking ball to what God built.
That's it. He's saying, I did not come to cataluo. I didn't come to bulldoze the foundation. He came to fulfill. And this is where the theology gets deep and where it gets difficult for us.
Right.
Steve argued that Jesus didn't lower the bar. He actually lifted the law on high. He reemphasized God's original intention.
Wait, so you're saying the rules actually got harder?
In a way, yes. Because the religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, had spent centuries creating loopholes.
The traditions of men.
That's it. They made the law manageable. They lowered the standard so they could step over it. They thought if they just washed their hands a certain way or didn't walk too far on the Sabbath, they were holy.
And Jesus came back and said, no, the standard is God's perfection.
Which brings us to the villains of the sermon, the spiritual phonies.
The scribes and Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
Steve went pretty hard on them. He called them out. But I think it's easy for us to sit here in 2026 and nod along and say, yeah, those bad guys back then were terrible. But he wasn't really talking about them, was he?
No, he was talking about us. He was talking about the danger of external religion. You see, the Pharisees looked great. They had the robes, the tassels, the prayer hands.
They were the most respected men in the community.
And Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, you aren't getting into the kingdom.
That is a terrifying thought. If the professional religious guys aren't making the cut, who is?
It comes down to the source of the righteousness. Is it external rule following or is it an internal heart change?
Right.
Steve brought up the origin of the word hypocrite. It comes from the Greek word hypocrites.
I love the visual he gave here. Tell us about the mask.
It's straight from Greek theater. An actor would hold a mask in front of their face. The mask is smiling, you know, beaming with joy.
Mm-hmm.
But the actor behind it, he might be frowning. He might be grieving. Or the mask is tragic, but the actor is laughing.
The outside doesn't match the inside.
And that is the warning for the modern church. Steve said God isn't interested in the masks we wear on Sunday morning. You know the drill.
Oh, yeah. We walk in, we sing Shine, Jesus, Shine, which, by the way, was a great callback to the song service yesterday.
Oh, yes.
And we shake hands and say, I'm blessed. But if the heart is full of rot, if the heart is angry or lustful or prideful,
then you're just a hypocrite. You're just an actor holding a mask.
And in a dark world, going back to the intro, a fake faith won't survive.
Yeah.
You cannot fight a culture of death with a mask. You need the real thing.
That leads perfectly into the four P's he introduced. Well, he admitted he ran out of time, so he only got to the first one.
He covered the first one, the preeminence of the law.
Preeminence, meaning it's number one. It's the top dog.
Unequaled. And the reason it's unequaled is because of the author. It isn't a suggestion from a consultant. It is Exodus 20. I am the Lord thy God.
He quoted Malachi 3.6 here.
I am the Lord, I change not.
That is the anchor. And this was the philosophical core of the message. We live in a fluid society. Steve pointed this out. Our culture changes its mind on right and wrong based on daily whims. It feels like that, doesn't it? One day something is a sin, the next day it's celebrated with a parade.
And if you don't celebrate it, you're the bad guy.
And the pressure on the church is to update our software. To say, well, the culture moves, so God must have moved too. We need to get with the times.
But Steve's argument, the scripture's argument, is that the law is binding because God does not change.
Right. If it was wrong then and God hasn't changed, it's wrong now.
That is a hard pill to swallow for modern people. We like flexibility. We want a God who adapts to us.
We do. Yeah. But the preeminence of the law means God's standard survives our cultural shifts. It stands over us. We don't stand over it.
Okay, so we have the dark world. We have the absolute unchanging law. and we have the danger of being phonies. That brings us to the end of the message, the call to action. And I have to say, this was the part that surprised me the most.
You mean the wimpy Christians comment?
Yeah. He started talking about believers who are afraid to go into the world because it's too evil. Mm-hmm. They want to stay in the hoary huddle where it's safe and clean.
He called that being wimpy. And he asked the question, where did Jesus go?
He didn't hang out at the temple all day.
No, he was with the tax collectors. He was in the red light districts of his day. He went to the people who were furthest from the law.
And then Steve gave that very specific instruction. Yeah. And for a conservative sermon, honestly, this was radical.
He talked about the LGBTQ community.
He did. He said explicitly that Christians should go where the gays are hanging.
Now, pause there, because usually when you hear that set up in a conservative church, you expect the punchline to be, go there and preach judgment.
Or go there and protest their events.
Right. But that wasn't what he said at all.
No. He said, go there, and if you get the chance, simply say, God bless you, and Jesus loves you.
It completely flips the script. He's saying, do not compromise the law. He just spent 30 minutes saying the law is absolute and sin is sin, but your interaction with the sinner must be driven by presence and love.
He got vulnerable there, too. He talked about his own past.
Being 38 years old in the Air Force, he used the phrase mired in sin. He said he was destroying himself, and he made the point. I didn't need someone to condemn me. I was already doing a good job of that myself.
He needed love.
He needed presence. And that brings it all together. You cannot be salt and light if you never leave the shaker. You cannot be light if you refuse to walk into the dark room because you're afraid of the darkness.
It challenges our definition of evangelism.
Yeah.
It isn't winning an argument. It isn't posting a meme on social media.
No.
It's risking your own comfort to be in a place where you might not fit in just to represent Jesus.
And he was realistic. He said they might not want to hear it. You might get rejected. You might get a door slammed in your face.
Right.
But he said that's not your fault. Your job is to be the instrument.
So we have a lot to chew on. The law is permanent. The culture is shifting. But our job isn't to hide. It's to go out.
And remember, this is just part one.
Right. He promised us three more me's. We covered preeminence, but we still have permanence, pertinence, and purpose coming up.
And he teased the evening service about the second coming and the two categories of people. So the intensity isn't dropping off anytime soon. Brother Steve is on a mission.
Definitely not. But I want to leave you with the question Steve asked right near the end. It's the so what of the whole morning. It has been stuck in my head since I walked out of the sanctuary.
Do you know why you were saved?
So you could lead somebody else to salvation.
We aren't saved to sit. We're saved to serve.
So here's the challenge for this week. Look at your own life. Are you wearing a mask? Are you a wimpy Christian, hiding in the safety of your routine? Or are you willing to take that absolute truth into a dark world? Not to judge, but to love someone who desperately needs it.
That is the question we all have to answer.
Thank you for diving into the Word with us today. It wasn't an easy message, but it was the right one. Let's go out and be the light.
God bless you.